You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Hi, I'm KSL's Debbie Worthen. 4 years ago, my son Asher was diagnosed with autism. After getting our footing, we decided it was time to celebrate the news with all of you. And that's how Celebrating the Spectrum was born. Each week, we consult with the experts and others who are learning to navigate life with a loved one who has special needs. This is a place where we find hope, look for solutions, and connect with those working to create a better world of inclusion. Thanks for joining us for our very first episode of Celebrating the Spectrum. I'm Debbie Worthen. I have my husband, Brandon, with me here. And many of you may know me for my work on KSL TV. And I know that many of you were along for the journey when Brandon and I adopted our son, Asher, 6 years ago. So it's been a crazy road, hasn't it?
It has been. Yeah, crazy. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for being in.
Good to be a guest here. So, no, just really excited for the opportunity of this, you know, podcast, and also for what we're going to gain as well, the knowledge of who you're going to be able to talk to, and just, you know, the more knowledge, the better in this area. So
always learning.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you.
So Asher, our son, was diagnosed with autism right after he turned 2. And he is the reason for this podcast. will say that. So we wanted to kick off our podcast with some background on why we decided to do this. And we'll take you back a few years. So we became a licensed foster family in 2015. Asher was our second placement. He was born in November and we met him in February. So he'd had a rough start to life when we picked him up from the Christmas box house. He was 3 months old. He'd been completely neglected before ultimately being abandoned at the homeless shelter. His birth parents were addicts. And we will never know the full extent of the drug use in utero, but we can assume it was a common occurrence. And while there is no one reason that someone ends up with autism, we have read some studies that there are times when it's because of trauma in utero. And so that may or may not be the reason Asher ended up with autism. But within a few weeks of us getting him, because he didn't make a sound when we first got him for a couple of weeks.
Just silent, no eye contact.
Right. Yeah. Just a little shell of a child. It was so sad. It was. In fact, I don't even like looking at those pictures from him in the hospital.
I know. We'd look back at, I mean, the one in the hospital before he came to us.
Yeah.
But even some of our first few days pictures, it just doesn't even seem like the same child.
Yeah.
Just because of, obviously, the neglect.
Yeah, I know.
He was suffering from.
I know. The power of love. We've talked about that a lot. And yes, it sounds so cheesy, but it's actually true.
It does. But I mean, we as human beings, we need to be loved.
Yeah.
And it has a huge impact on, you know, us, our psychology.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Right. So within a few weeks, and we talk about this, how we started to find his voice. And it was so cute. And then, you know, we renamed him, which a lot of foster families who end up adopting kids, they will change the name, especially when it's a baby and they, you know, they weren't used to having another name. So we threw around a ton of names. And what's really crazy when you have a foster baby that you know you're going to be adopting is you just start trying out names.
Yes.
So it's just seeing if they fit or seeing if you end up liking them. I thought that's funny looking back.
Yeah. Trying them out. I mean, I guess it's not so odd now when you hear of people that have their biological kids and like leave the hospital, like, we haven't named it yet. We're going to figure it out.
Right.
I kind of get it now, you know, see what fits. But also, yeah, it's just the name, as you're going to elaborate to in here, is just so fitting for him.
Yeah, no, it is. But I think that what's funny is you think you like a certain name. But then with a foster baby that you've had in your house for months, you know their personality more.
Yes.
So then you're like, oh, well, that actually doesn't fit their personality. Or, no, I like that name, but that's just not the one. It's harder because you know them so well.
Yeah. And you can't go with, the funny thing is, but the name that some of the children in our home have had as in the foster stage is Baby. You know, they're called baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Our daughter that we adopted, she was 27 months. We literally called her baby for 2 years.
Yeah. And I think it's still, and I mean, that's probably why we still refer to the two youngest, which are, you know, approaching seven, you
and
know,
five.
In the fall and five. And what are the babies up to? What are the babies?
And now like, they get mad. They're like, we're not babies.
Yes.
So anyway, the name Asher in part means the happy one. And that's why we chose that name. And so we, it just totally fits him. And still, he just has a great little demeanor. So it was at his 2-year-old well visit that our pediatrician told us that he was showing signs of autism. So do you want to talk about that day a little bit, Brandon?
Sure. So just, you know, first off, what kind of comes to mind is, you know, just throwing out some feelings there: helpless, scared, protective, clueless.
Mm-hmm.
What now?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's scary. And I don't say that in a bad way. Mm-hmm. It's just there's so much unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, when
the education,
yeah.
We have no idea of what we're supposed to, what do we do with this? You know, and the thing, though, that as I look back on that day and I felt it, you know, that day in the week following that, it just reaffirmed for me in my heart. Mm-hmm. That is the reason that Asher was directed to us.
Right.
And like we were directed to, I mean, we'd never even talked about fostering kids mm-hmm. or fostering to adopt. I mean, it came up pretty
late in the marriage.
Late,
yeah, we've been married 22 years.
Late in the marriage. And it just reaffirmed this is, you know, this is why. And really because of those tough circumstances mm-hmm. he came out of, I can't imagine what he would have been facing.
Right.
With the with his diagnosis mm-hmm.
And maybe never would have gotten it.
Yes.
Really, you know.
So
mm-hmm.
just it reaffirmed for me that he is meant to be with us.
Right, right. So what that day that we got the, and it wasn't like the official diagnosis because we hadn't gone through a bunch of tests, but our pediatrician was like, looks like he has autism. Here's this pamphlet. So first of all, I was like shell shocked. I mean, really, it's like a punch in the gut. And I won't call it a devastating blow because I feel like that's too strong. It's not, he didn't have a terminal illness. He wasn't going to die. He, you know, it changed nothing about him as our child.
Exactly.
And I think that's really important for people because you hear that, you hear autism, and I mean, you just, your mind goes all these different places like, oh, this wasn't the life that I pictured for him, which as parents, we have to like pivot our mindset all the time with stuff like that. But I'll tell you, when we got that pamphlet, I immediately started like making calls, calling every number in that pamphlet. And what was horrible is every number was pretty much wrong. Like they said, oh, have you called your school district for early intervention? And I'm like, well, he's not in school. He's 2. But we didn't know that early intervention started at 2. Like, how would we even know that? You know, so I felt like a total idiot. Like, oh, well, you could have had him in therapy at 2 years old. And then, you know, I just start making this list of calls because they tell you, oh, you got to get some other tests done so he'll qualify for services with insurance. But it was just this big enigma, just this big cloud of unknown. We don't know who to call. We don't know what to do. And so finally, one of those calls, which really stands out to me, is I can't even remember which place it was, but I called and I was like, hey, my son, the pediatrician said my son has autism and I need to, you know, do whatever. And she's like, oh, OK, well, tell me what's going on. She's like, OK, well, this is actually not where you're supposed to call. She's like, but I can tell you this. Here's what you actually need to do. You need to call this place. And I would suggest doing it through, you know, such and such, because this is the gold standard. This is how you'll get the best care, the best coverage, an accurate diagnosis. And then I remember saying to her, and I was getting teary when I said this, and I said, now can you just tell me not to be scared?
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, I tear up even now because it was so daunting. And you just know, like, I need to give my son every resource available to him. And I don't even know what I'm dealing with. I don't know. Are we going to be okay? Are we going to be okay? And she said, she's like, you know what? This is your diagnosis and you can tell as many or as few people as you want. And I actually thought that was pretty profound when she
yes.
said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So over the next few months, we were introduced to some pretty amazing people. And let's talk quickly about those months leading into that. So we go and we get the diagnosis. And so he ends up at Pingree, the Pingree Autism Center. And when we finally got like the official, oh, yes, we are diagnosing him as autism, Because, you know, we'd heard.
Yes.
How did you feel that day? I mean, I specifically remember for me, like, when they told me that, like, oh, yes, we've evaluated him. We've gone over these dozens of papers that you've filled out. We've watched him. And I remember getting emotional, but it was more of a huge sense of relief because it was all of a sudden like, okay, now we get some help.
Yeah. And same thing, sense of relief of like, we know, mm-hmm. you know, there's the official diagnosis.
Right.
But I mean, also just so many emotions, you know, going through you knowing that the pediatrician was right, like her mm-hmm. instincts of what she thought
right,
was right.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of things raced through, you know, through my head. Mm-hmm. I thought of, honestly, being someone that grew up playing sports and being a big part of my life, I thought, is he going to, you know, he's the only boy in our house.
Right.
You know, and I mean, we have athletic girls.
Right.
You know, but it was just that thought of immediate thought of, is he going to play sports? Is he going to, mm-hmm. you know, like sports? Can he play sports and all that kind of stuff? And I look back now and like, I'm almost like, well, that was shallow for me to think that way, but that was just my thought in the moment.
But,
you know?
But as a dad, I think that, and I won't say every dad, but I say many dads want that son to do all of the things that you're talking about, to play catch, to play football, because you played football in high school and loved it, and it was a huge part of your identity. And to do all of those things, that's just what you had pictured when we adopted Asher.
Yeah. And now who he is today in mm-hmm. this journey we've been along, like, I wouldn't change anything.
Right.
Like, he is, I mean, so awesome, to put
awesome.
It that way.
Yeah.
But his personality,
yeah.
what he does for our home, mm-hmm. you know, just everybody is different because of him.
Right.
The way we react to stuff,
right.
the way we interact with each other is mm-hmm. is because of what he brings to our home.
Yeah.
Like, it truly is special. And it's a blessing. It
yeah.
truly is a blessing to have him in our home.
Right, right. Yeah, we joke because our house just now looks like a crafting bomb went off every single day. And it starts, I mean, a lot of autistic kids get up far before the crack of dawn. Now, since it's summer, it's about crack of dawn. But he starts on those projects and tornadoes right out of the gate, doesn't he?
He does. And it's, yeah, it's something that, yeah, I got to devote some time every day to, after he goes to bed, to cleaning up the house. But like, what a great place to focus time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing what he comes up with and creates. Like, if someone told me, create this with paper, a glue stick, staples, pipe cleaners,
right,
you know,
right.
all that stuff,
yeah.
I would never be able to create what he does.
Right.
I mean, he comes and shows you and you're like, the level
wow.
of detail is
yeah.
insane right now in what you've created. So,
yeah.
Anyhow.
And the costumes.
Yes.
The costumes are pretty intense as well.
Yeah, there are a lot. Our home, we play along as much as we can, but Asher is 98% of the time in character as
right.
someone.
Right.
You know?
And what I love about it, some of them are like costumes that we've actually purchased. Like, oh, this is an Aladdin costume. But most of them are just, you know, makeshift. Like, he's put them together.
Yeah,
like, for example, even Aladdin, he has the real life Aladdin, and then he has the cartoon Aladdin, and then he has Prince Ali. And they're all different. One of them has a shirt under it. One of them has no shirt. One has jeans. One has the yellow satin pants.
Yes. No, it is so fun. And then, yeah, his made up ones are the ones that crack me up.
Right.
Because, like, right now, he loves tornadoes.
Right. You know? Loves. I mean, that is
super,
an understatement.
Yeah, that is an understatement. That's, he, I mean, tons
passionate.
Of knowledge. He's passionate about
mm-hmm.
it. And, you know, a few weeks ago, he comes out in jeans and a polo
jeans, and
or
so
a button-up shirt or whatever. And come to find out, he's Bill from Twister.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
we've also realized Twister has some
inappropriate language.
As we found out that he blurted out at school.
It was from the era of, you know, there's a gray area of like PG, R, all that kind of stuff.
No PG-13.
So, yeah, so there's a few words that he now knows you don't say.
Right.
And he understands it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyhow.
But it's hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, all right. So he started at Pingree. Pingree changed our life. And that was one of the things where it was just like, oh, okay, this is amazing. The therapy, everything that is available to the autistic people in our life. And this, and even as we go, this has really evolved, because I will tell you, when we were at Pingree, and he was at Pingree for 4 years, he just barely transitioned out, we were just living in this ignorant bliss, weren't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, and we had heard people, you know, like talking about the public school system and kids with special needs and some autism and some Down syndrome and a myriad of other neurodiverse kids. And I really was so naive, just thinking, you know, I just don't believe what you're telling us about the resources. I just actually don't believe it. And I didn't. I just thought, you're just not looking hard enough, or you're not asking the right questions, or you're just expecting the school to raise your kids. I mean, did you think that, or was that just me? I mean, that does sound really judgy now, but I truly thought, as I heard parents tell me, they're just, you know, they're not, their kids aren't being served well in the school district or the schools in general. I just thought, this actually can't be true.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I don't know truly what I thought. I'm like,
well, maybe it didn't even really occur to you.
Yeah. I don't know if it occurred, or, you know, we all have those people where, yeah, their kid's struggling, but their kid might be the problem, you know, as far as behavior,
right,
all that kind
right.
of good stuff. So, yeah, kind of a lot of unknowns. But Pingree, mm-hmm. so the Carmen B. Pingree Center of Autism Learning,
yeah.
I believe is its
right,
official name.
Right.
Super, I mean, cool to have that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and what a blessing to have that here in Utah. They're renowned not only on like a state level, a national level, but like an international level.
Yeah. And we talk about Pingree just like it's the sacred place, Pingree, because they are just angels that work with those kids. And we, number one, we could not believe the immediate difference we saw once Asher was in therapy. And that's why another thing. You know, and we talk all the time, because everyone knows that family that has someone in their family that is autistic and they're just in complete denial. And
yes.
and everyone else knows it. All the friends know it. All the neighbors know it. It's like, oh, so-and-so, their kid is autistic. And the parents just like in complete denial. And we just can't believe what a disservice that is to not just the child, but to the family. I mean, really, when he started, and I mean, Brandon, think about this. Like, this was, you know, 4 years ago. Remember how he kind of had that high-pitched scream because he couldn't communicate yet? I mean, it was just, and we were losing our minds.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable how quickly we saw changes. And they're obviously skilled where we're not skilled
yeah.
in knowing what these children need.
And like, when your kid is 2-3 years old and has autism, you are just so clueless. You are just a typical kid. You're learning as you go. This steps it up.
Yeah. And that's what I used to, I mean, say when we'd have, you know, monthly meetings with Pingree, mm-hmm. which is awesome, you
right.
know, just based on therapy and giving us tools and all
right.
that kind of stuff. But it was like, they would ask me questions, but I'm like, I don't know. It's actually been a long time since I've had a 2 or 3 year old. You know,
yeah,
there's a big gap in our children's
know.
Age. But
yeah.
it's like, is this, I feel like this is what a 3 year old would be doing anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, sometimes I think it's hard to distinguish, you know, some of the stuff at that very young age, but also so great that he was diagnosed at the age he was mm-hmm. and started therapy really at 2.5 years old
right.
to start shaping his mind in a
right.
sense.
Yeah.
So in areas that we're obviously not skilled in.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And you hear so much about early intervention, how the brain is still so malleable when kids are 1-2 years old that you can literally reshape the chemistry of the brain by all of this amazing therapy. And, you know, it remains to be seen what the future holds for Asher and for all of us, really. But wow, it'd be hard to argue that wasn't happening on a daily basis at Pingree when he was there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then Pingree, I mean, the neat thing about it is like kind of the background is the Pingree family.
Yeah, Carmen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, had an autistic child. And this right. dates back to the late 70s.
Right.
And they quickly found out there weren't any resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, think about it just from our time and generation. Like, it's just recently, you know, becoming very known,
yeah.
you know, the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And
well, especially in Utah. I mean, worldwide, it's 1 in 44 kids is diagnosed with autism. And, you know, we've heard forever that it's higher here in Utah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, Pingree, I mean, we talk about it, we love Pingree.
Right, we do.
So, I mean, but
this
they
is
have,
not an ad or
yeah.
and it's not sponsored. We just
yes.
love them.
I mean, some of the stuff they're doing, they're partnered with you know, the University of Utah, mm-hmm. where they're constantly collecting data and right. they have researchers working on stuff. And then they also have partnerships that I found out with Stanford University, mm-hmm. with UCLA, Utah State. So just such a great resource, and basically getting knowledge from others and sharing knowledge of what they're finding
right.
just to help this cause. It's so funny. You feel, I've talked about it, and I was talking to my mom the other day, and it's like, if it feels like it's a U.S.
Issue,
mm-hmm. you know, but no, it's global.
Right.
You know, it's,
yeah.
it's not tied to any demographic,
it's
any geographic,
yes.
anywhere. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, it's.
And it's not going away.
No.
You know, that's the thing, too. It's not going away. And we've talked tons of times about the era that we're living in now. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how we feel about that. And then the reason we chose the name Celebrating the Spectrum.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the reason we chose the name Celebrating the Spectrum actually sort of evolved. So when we started talking about launching a podcast, we were throwing a bunch of names around. And we really wanted it to capture the true feeling of how we feel about autism. And we also don't want to just focus on autism in this podcast. We're going to talk about special needs of people, you know, in every single area. And so we thought, well, Spectrum does have that autism link, you know, mm-hmm. and then, but the spectrum of special needs.
Yes.
And then there is another podcast that you and I really have loved, and it's just resonated with us on so many levels. And the woman that is, hosts that podcast, her adult daughter is autistic, and she was interviewing her for one of the first episodes, and her daughter said, you know, people ask me if I could take a pill that would, you know, quote, cure my autism, would I do that? And she said, no, because that would change everything unique and cool about me. And didn't that just give you so much hope when you heard that?
Yeah, hope. I mean, it almost, you know, you saying it again, it almost, you know, chokes me up mm-hmm. just because, again, there's so much unknown,
right?
You know, of the future. Will Asher fall in love? Will mm-hmm. Asher get married? Will Asher have children? And not that that defines anybody.
Right.
But
these are things you want for your child because you feel like those are things that bring happiness in life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but just again, that, you know, podcast that I stumbled upon.
Right.
You know, and then listened to it. And then again, just this adult daughter who's yeah. just thriving in mm-hmm. life and really, you know, you wouldn't have any inkling as to what's going on,
right.
you know. Now, once, you know, this is my daughter, she has autism, you mm-hmm. pick up on some
right,
stuff,
for
you know,
sure. mm-hmm.
but yeah, just a really kind of eye-opening and encouraging
right.
Podcast that we were, you know, that we were able to listen to and gain a lot from.
No, right, right. So we were thinking all these different, you know, terms and what really encapsulates what we want to do. And it's like, no, this is something to be celebrated. And you just talked a few minutes ago about what Asher has brought to our house, and he's changed us all, mm-hmm. you know, and oh, are we going to cry every week on this? This is going to be dumb. but just how amazing, you know, his little personality and everything that he has brought to our house has been incredible. All right. So, you know, we talked about Pingree, which was so wonderful. Well, last year, Pingree's like, you know, he's outgrown Pingree, and
which is good news.
I'm like, we didn't want to get kicked out. They're like, you're looking at this the wrong way. Yes. I mean, this really is, you know, he needs to transition to a typical classroom to get social modeling from typical peers because, you know, his therapist said, you know, and I'm not one of those parents who's like, oh, my child is a genius. But when you have a child with special needs, when, you know, they miss so many milestones that when they just fly past one, it just is huge. So she said, you know, academically, he's 12, but socially, he's 2.
Yeah.
So like anything that would happen in a, you know, in a traditional classroom right now, it doesn't really matter if he does his writing, if he does his reading, if he does all this, because he's doing that without even being taught. What he needs is that social modeling from the typical peers. So so this is where things really started to get interesting. Is that the right word?
No. Yeah. Interesting and scary.
Discouraging.
I mean, to be honest.
Frustrating.
We had, I mean, I feel like we're involved parents, you know, and doing, especially you, doing a ton of research and always looking for opportunities. And then I do what you tell me. So I carry those on. But I mean, it was, we leaned on Pingree so much.
Well, we lived in ignorant bliss with Pingree.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like just daycare. Mm-hmm. It was changing his life.
Yeah.
And we
ours.
Saw, yes. And we saw so many milestones achieved there. And then all of a sudden, again, it was good news. Like, that's what you want to hear.
You want
to hear. But it was,
in
like,
theory.
Scary.
In theory, you want to hear that.
I mean, it's just like we were, they were saying at this date, you know, we're going to, it's going to be his last day. And we were, to me, I had so much anxiety.
Oh, so
over
much
that.
Anxiety. I know. So, you know, he'd gone from, well, and so he was diagnosed at 2. So at 2.5, and think how tiny your little 2.5-year-old, and he's big for his age, but he was still tiny.
Yes.
We're putting him on a bus to go up by the U. You know, we live in the south end of the Salt Lake Valley every day. And that was just this weird thing in general. But he loved it. Oh, my gosh. He loved Pingree so much.
Oh, yeah. Loved the bus.
He loved
like,
the
again,
bus.
It's just so weird putting your toddler on a full-size school bus. You know?
Our 4-year-old now, our 4-year-old daughter, she's like, why am I neurotypical? I want to have autism.
Yeah, she thinks it's cool. Yeah, like all the stuff that comes along with it.
Yeah, he gets to do a lot of fun stuff. So anyway, he started in the public school system in February. And so for the last, you know, 4 months of kindergarten, he was in public school. And oh, my goodness, what a range of emotions. So, you know, they did some testing and he got an IEP. And if you don't know what an IEP is, bless you. We didn't know what an IEP was either until last year. Our two biological daughters are 17 and 19, and we had not dealt with this. In fact, I'm trying to think if I even really knew the principal's names at their elementary schools, you know, and now it's like, oh, yeah, we're in there all the time. We could be put on staff, you know, because we're in there so much. But what happened was we quickly realized just the need for true inclusion. The need for change. And we are living in a world where everyone is pushing for inclusion in every area. And that is, we believe, going to work in our favor over the next several years for inclusion for kids with special needs.
Yeah. And I mean, really, so Asher is high functioning, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's, for someone like him, it's looked at as like a invisible disability.
Yeah, absolutely. Which you know, I have thought about this so many times, Brandon. I don't know if you have. Would it be easier as a parent if your child's disability was very visible? You know, like Down syndrome or spina bifida or one of these where everyone around them knew.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's honestly more of an acceptance from people in public because they can clearly see.
Right.
Where... You know, and
well, we went to Hawaii a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, those people sitting behind us.
Yeah.
They couldn't even make eye contact with us by the end of the flight. And I wore the autism T-shirt, just like whatever I could do. And Asher wasn't being bad, but he was singing really, really loud for 6 hours.
He's the happy one. He just was singing. Yeah. So, but I mean, supermarkets, like throwing fits. Yeah. Like I now so many times, like, because I like to people watch, you know, but like look at situations and I'm thinking that kid might be autistic, you know, and that's why they're acting out and acting the way they are. So, but
our
not
parental
showing,
judgment has been eliminated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, and again, it's tough for, and I think even you know, not only adults, mm-hmm. you know, but like teenagers, kids, like, I think it's tough when a kid is acting differently.
Yeah.
And again, there's no visual signs.
Yeah. What is wrong with this kid?
Yeah.
You know?
So
you're judgy as adults, we can be judgy, and other little kids, they can be judgy, but they're also so open-minded at a young age. So what we immediately started doing with the school was just inserting ourselves into the programs there. And a friend of mine that I've met kind of through this parent advocacy, she runs Nothing Down About It, that Instagram account. We're going to have her on definitely in the next couple of weeks. She has been a huge advocate for her child who has Down syndrome. And, you know, I asked her a while ago, how did you even know to fight for something different? You know, how did you know to do that? And she was amazing because as a parent, oh my gosh, it is so intimidating. So you go, you know, you go into these meetings and they're like, here's what we want to do for your kid. And you feel like they know everything and I'm just the mom, you know, but you start recognizing, okay, that's not true. I mean, they know a lot and they know so much that we don't know, but we know our kid.
Yes.
You know, so Asher started and he'd been there about 4 weeks and the discussion started. We're going to move him to a cluster class. We're going to move him to a different school. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, and even, I mean, jumping back to that very first meeting of getting him going mm-hmm. and basically from, you know, what they saw and what they wanted to do, he was going to have speech therapy.
30 minutes a week of speech therapy.
Nothing else. Nothing else.
We both walked out like, oh, good luck. I mean, maybe this will be a success.
Yeah. I mean, coming from such a structured program. But again, you go into these meetings. We don't know.
We don't know.
Are we supposed to, like, in that, you just kind of like nod your head and, I mean, we walked out and we're like, this isn't going to work, mm-hmm.
But least restrictive environment, you know, you have to try.
Yes. So, but yeah, Asher loved Pingree mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. Teachers come out. How was his day? Oh, he had an amazing day. Mm-hmm. We were had a rough day.
Another rough day.
Over 200 redirects, you know, mm-hmm. which it's just tough when it's your kid and almost like they're a disruption to the classroom.
Yeah. We went from, you know, his therapist to Pingree, like, oh, he is so bright. He just needs the social stuff. This could be the difference between him being the next Elon Musk or Anthony Hopkins to just being like a real social weirdo living in your house forever and not thriving. And so to go from that, where it's like they see so much potential, to the public school where it's like, we really got the impression this kid's a problem.
Yeah, we can't sustain this. We're going to move him to, you know, a cluster classroom, mm-hmm. which is a, you know, wouldn't be at his home school.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, what we wanted. Mm-hmm. There are kids in our neighborhood that are his same age mm-hmm. that, you know, that he knows. And obviously we want peer relationships as he grows. But these cluster classes are, you know, a classroom at a school.
And separate
school. And I know they serve purposes. But
it does serve a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. what Asher needed, mm-hmm. he needed pure modeling from neurotypical
kids. Yeah.
Peers. That's why Pingree is like we need to transition him. So my thought was like, this isn't going to benefit him to have him go into a classroom with, you know, children that are, you know, all levels of, you know, the spectrum mm-hmm. to where we have therapists that have diagnosed him saying this is what he needs.
Yeah.
He needs peer influence.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we've learned a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, and growth, we talk all the time. Growth is never fun. I mean, when you're growing, you know, or even like think about when you're working out and trying to build muscles, like you're sore and the muscles hurt. And then months later, you're like, oh, I look so good now.
I started up at it again yesterday. And I'm like, I'm going to do this every day. And then this morning the alarm went off and I turned it off.
Snooze.
Like, yeah. I'm like, I got Debbie's podcast day. I can't wait now. You know, you come up with these excuses.
But I think that during these last several months of intense learning, and I look back at the school year and the, you know, the few months and we actually really love the team at his school and we're learning a lot together. And what we hope for is a collaborative environment over the next 6 years while he's hopefully at that school. And there are going to be times when it's uncomfortable and it's not easy, but we obviously feel like there's a greater purpose here. And our goal, our ultimate goal, is true inclusion in society. And it's going to be baby steps along the way. So celebrating the spectrum, we are going to join you weekly. And we're going to talk to all kinds of people. And when Asher moved into the public school system, I just started calling everyone that would have a conversation with me. And it was like, one of my friends say, a lady in my neighborhood, her cousin's daughter is autistic. And so I started making those calls. I send a text. Hey, I'm a friend of so-and-so. Would you have 10 minutes to talk to me? And people did. And it is incredible to hear all these different perspectives and what they wish would have been available when their kids were younger, or what they're seeing has been really successful for their now adult autistic children now. And so that's what we want to delve into. The other thing that we have noticed, because we've actually listened to a lot of podcasts now on autism, and I think that we like most of them. Some of them we love.
Yes. Absolutely.
What we have realized was sort of a common denominator with those podcasts is most of those people who have those podcasts with autism want you to do business with them. They want you to, have them be the life coach or stuff like that, where it was really important to us to not come in with that angle. We're just mom and dad.
Yep.
Whose kid is autistic. And we're just trying to work our way through this. And some days are amazing and some days are really hard. And some resources out there we found need a complete overhaul. And some of them are just like, we cannot believe that we are so lucky to be part of this community. And so for the podcast, we want this to be a place where you find some inspiration, you find some hope. And the hope is probably like top on my list.
Yeah.
And you find information about resources that are available to you, and you find a greater understanding for the autistic people in your life or the families who have an autistic person in their family. Because, we joke because we were at the movie theater one afternoon and we went up to the window. We're like, hey, two tickets for such and such. And the kid working was like, and we said, is that sold out? I was like, no, there are 45 seats, blah, 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 blah. We looked at each other like, oh, for sure, autistic. And we walked away thinking, okay, Asher may work at the movie theater one day. He may be a surgeon one day. And either way is absolutely fine.
Yes. Yeah. No, I walked away from that just like, that is awesome.
It is. I smiled.
Yes. Just total feel good.
So. Yeah. And the other thing is we have those moments in our life where like we feel like our purpose has never been clearer. And that's how we've started to feel about this journey of inclusion and parent advocacy and the podcast. It feels like this is bigger than us. And it's our calling to carry this forward right now.
Yeah. And it just, again, what I talked about off the top, just the reaffirmation of Asher, like why we were led to foster care, mm-hmm. why, Asher situation, why we were the family called,
right?
Mm-hmm. When he was taken into custody,
right?
It all makes sense. And yeah. The funny thing about that is we were heartbroken at that point.
We were healing
because,
right.
Our first placement, he was with us for
3 months.
3 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, you can't help but get attached to a baby.
Man.
Like it's almost impossible not to. Now the child ended up with family, mm-hmm. and that's the goal.
Yeah, that's
but
the goal.
It didn't make it any less painful for
yeah,
us.
Exactly.
It was really hard, but we were like, we need to, and really the system, the foster system, they're good. They're like, if you guys need to take a break, mm-hmm. like we'll take your name off the list.
Right.
We won't call you because it's real. Mm-hmm. Like the emotions are real.
Yeah.
And I remember, Debbie calling me, mm-hmm. and I was sitting in the parking lot of a store getting ready to walk in, and Debbie called me and told me the DCFS just called me. They've got a child they just took into custody. Mm-hmm. He was abandoned, mm-hmm. to a homeless shelter. He's in really rough shape. And I mean, in my mind, I'm just racing like, oh, my goodness, can we do this again so soon?
Yeah,
because it
right.
was, I mean, a week. I mean, two. I don't know. It wasn't very long.
Yeah,
it's
it
all
blurred immediate.
Now.
Yeah.
But I remember my. What I said to you, and I love that you loved it because you repeat it, but basically is like, well, I guess we better help the little guy out.
Yeah.
And by helping that little guy out,
mm-hmm.
has changed us forever.
Yeah, it's changed the course of our life. Yeah, for the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it's really incredible. So our goal every week will never be to talk you into doing business with us. We just want to be a place of hope, information, resources, and ultimately we want a life of inclusion for the neurodiverse members of our community. And we're going to start it right here every week, and we're going to have fun. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, this is the beginning of an incredible journey that obviously some of the stuff that we're going to, you know, talk about, try to make change here where we live.
Right.
It may not benefit Asher, but it's going to benefit other children for generations.
Yeah,
like, we are really hoping to make a difference, because those people that helped Asher made a difference in our life.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot more work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And again, Asher is going to benefit from this, but there is going to be, our hope is countless children, not here even locally, but nationally, internationally, by hopefully what we're able to bring that will have a lasting impact.
Thank you. That was beautifully said, Brandon. All right. And we hope you'll join us every week as we celebrate the spectrum. And celebrating the spectrum is a KSL podcast.